Appeals is now in session. We have three items tonight, A547, A546, and A548. Unless there's some objection, I'd like to start with A546, even though A547 is listed first on the agenda, since we already started that, and we'd like to finish it before we go into a new matter.
Need to speak louder.
We'll move the microphone closer. Right. Okay, so A546, why don't you folks come forward? Yeah. Richard Comasino and Linda Gardner.
And would you like me to reintroduce the application?
Yeah,
okay.
If you would.
This is application A-546, it's an application for a variance. It's requesting a 7-foot variance of the required 10-foot side yard setback to permit the construction of a 2-car garage at 31 Cullinan Drive, Gaithersburg, Maryland. The property is located in the R90 medium density residential zone with setbacks as required by section 24-32C of the City of Gaithersburg Zoning Ordinance, also known as Chapter 24 of the City Code. And just for clarification, the 2-car garage will actually be replacing an existing one-car carport and adjacent parking pad. And representing the applicants are Mr. Carmesino and Ms. Gardner, or Mrs. Gardner.
Okay, please proceed. I see we have some new exhibits. Exhibit 17, additional site pictures are not identified.
Yes, I had forgotten to put the labels. They're actually in order. I had forgotten to put the numbers on there. If you bring them up on the screen, though, I did add it to
they're in the sequence that's listed on Exhibit 17?
Correct. And if Trudy actually could scroll down, you'll see I did add the numbers after I realized I had forgotten.
Okay.
So they will show up on the overhead. But they are in order as they were submitted.
Oh, I see.
Right, Exhibit 16, the applicant had actually revised the sketch to show more accurate dimensions of the existing conditions and the proposed, I believe. And he had also put the clarification on that exhibit for replacing the existing carport and parking pad.
I fence that we see in, I guess, photos 1, 2, 3, and 4, is that right on the property line?
Pardon?
Is that fence right on your property line?
Yes, yeah.
And did you have any comments that you wanted to add to what you presented the last time?
No, basically no. I took more pictures and that I think should be self-explanatory as to what is next to us.
Right. Okay.
It's very private.
Pardon me?
It's very private next to us.
Mm-hmm. Noel, would you have any questions?
No, I do not.
I don't have any questions.
Yeah, two questions. Is that park that where that fence runs along part of the HOA, belong to the HOA?
Part of what?
Who does that park belong to?
The development next beyond us.
It's their HOA
yes,
park?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what it's called. I have no idea.
Okay.
It was referred to as a park.
Yeah.
Right, well, it's actually open space. I'm not sure if it's, I mean, it's a park in the sense that it's not being used as...
It's really not a...
It's a...
It's a homeowners association parcel that's used as a park.
Okay, because
right.
I was under the impression that it was a...
A city park?
A city park.
No,
it's private.
Well, I mean, the question, I take it the HOA does not have any objection to this.
None that we know of.
Have they been informed?
They would have been notified as part of the notification process, but yes, we have not received any correspondence from them.
As long as they were notified.
Right.
And then the other thing is the storage shed. I always have a little trouble when I look at these pictures. Is that actually located on that slab that
yes,
you're running
it is,
into?
Yes.
So that's going to be removed.
Yes.
And relocated, presumably.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. That's it.
And the owner is of the HOA park is the Hidden Orchard Homeowners Association. And if you look at Exhibit 12, at the bottom of that list of notifications, that's who was notified.
Oh, okay.
There being no more questions, I guess we should close the record.
Move we close the record in the matter of A546.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. So, record closed, passes 4-0. Any discussion?
No. This is, we have to rule on the variance first. I mean,
that's right.
it falls into our zoning village, the unusual size of the lot.
Whether the property is unique and unusual in a manner different from the surrounding properties, due to the trapezoidal shape of the lot and the location of the lot on a dead-end street, and that the unique or unusual circumstances causes the zoning standards to impact disproportionately on the property relative to the lots in the surrounding neighborhood.
Personally, I agree. It fits that bill.
Pardon?
It looks to me as though it fits that criteria, looking at the other rectangular lots that seem to dominate the area.
I believe that it does meet the requirements.
I agree, too.
I make a motion that they have met the requirements, the binding, by their binding testimony and evidence. that it's unique and meets the finding.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that passes 4-0. And now we have to find whether the strict application of the terms and regulations of the chapter would result in peculiar or unusual practical difficulties to the owner's use of the property. Sufficient to justify a 7-foot side yard variance.
I think that the evidence presented that a 7-foot 7-foot side yard variance is justified as the minimum reasonably necessary to overcome the aforesaid exceptional circumstances.
Agree. Yeah.
Agree.
Okay. Okay, we need a motion and resolution.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Appeals of the City of Gaithersburg on November the 18th, 2010, that case A546, the petition of Richard Carmesino and Linda Gardner requesting a 7-foot variance of the 10-foot side yard required in section 24-32C of the City of Gaithersburg zoning ordinance for the construction of a 2-car garage at 31 Cullinan Drive, Lot 21, Block D, West Riding, Gaithersburg, Maryland, be granted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes 4-0.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. We've waited for this for 3 years.
We thank you very much.
Yes, we really appreciate this.
Are we dismissed?
Yes.
Well, we don't put it that way. You're relieved. You may leave if you wish.
All right.
And you may stay if you wish.
Okay.
Now, what is the next step? We
get
have
a permit.
To apply for a building permit.
Get the permit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Within the next few days.
What is there? Is there a time limit?
There'll be a resolution, written resolution that has to be signed.
Okay.
And that will happen in the next few days, and
Will I receive that in the mail?
Yes.
Yes.
But you can go ahead and apply for your building permit, and we'll make sure that it gets to the proper people before they issue you a permit.
All right.
So start that process now.
Okay.
If you need to get a hold of me, you have my number.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Amanda. This is great. I have a headache.
Okay. Next item is A547. Applicants requesting a special exception permit the construction of a rooftop telecommunications facility at 9711 Washingtonian Boulevard.
This is application number A-547. It's an application requesting a special exception to construct a rooftop telecommunication facility consisting of 15 panel-type antennas, a rooftop equipment shelter, a ground backup generator, and related equipment at 9711 Washingtonian Boulevard, which is a newly completed office building just off of I-270, and Gaithersburg, Maryland. The property is located in the MXD, the mixed-use zone, with the proposed use allowed by section 24-160D.3D of the City of Gaithersburg Zoning Ordinance, Chapter 24 of the City Code, subject to the review of the Board of Appeals. And presenting for the applicant Verizon Wireless is Stephanie Petwick.
Good evening. The proposed use is in order for us to provide coverage in the...
Let me stop you for a
moment.
I'm
sorry.
You swear you went as a witness?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The others were already. Mm-hmm. Do you solemnly swear and affirm under the penalties of perjury the testimony you are about to give in this matter shall be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Please proceed.
Sorry about that. Again, I'm Stephanie Petway, and I'm here representing Verizon Wireless. The proposed installation will provide us coverage as well as allow us to provide additional capacity for our customers, particularly the 270 corridor in the Shady Grove Road area. The particular site, if permitted, would allow us to put our antennas on an existing structure as opposed to us having to find a location to possibly have to build a new structure in order to provide the coverage that we need for our customers.
Who owns the building?
Washingtonian Properties. Yeah.
Washingtonian Properties,
sorry. Sorry? Washingtonian Properties.
Okay. And do you have a lease with them or some type of letter of agreement?
Yes, we do. We are
is
in...
Is that in the record?
I don't think we provided it as part of the application. We do have the authorization from the property owners in order to submit this particular application.
It's exhibit number 7.
At the time of our application, the lease had not been completely signed, but they did, you know, give us the authorization to move forward with the zoning process.
Exhibit number 7.
7, yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, before you proceed after approval here, which I assume you're going to get, but remains to be seen, before you can do the construction, I think you'll have to provide a copy of the lease.
Is that generally required?
I believe for the building permit, it's probably required because...
Okay, that's not a problem.
Right. Yeah.
It should be a condition, though. Mm-hmm. You should make a condition.
We can add that as a condition to the resolution if you would prefer. So I think that's what Trudy is suggesting.
Yeah, we usually.
Okay.
No other questions?
No, I don't have any at this time.
Yeah, I'd like one comment. This is in the middle of one of the biggest coverage holes I've ever seen presented in front of us.
Now you can see our need for the site.
It's not subtle. Sorry, I had to say something.
Actually, we have been working on a solution for this area for about 4 years. We actually were initially looking at the Marriott site, but because of leasing issues, we couldn't resolve it. So it literally has taken us 4 years in this building to be built for us to find a solution in this area that we felt we could bring to the city.
It's always nice to see another building because no one complains about it.
Exactly. That's always our goal also, actually.
I don't have any questions. No, I can't top Victor's comment. Observation.
Since I was
you're
loud.
Yeah. I use another carrier.
There is no other carrier.
Cut to the
just
car.
All
yeah. Okay, we need a motion to close the record.
Mr. K, you're going to ask if anyone wants to testify from the public? Just for the record.
Hmm? Oh, did you want to ask if anyone from the public wanted to testify?
Oh, yes. Anyone from the public wish to speak on this?
Yes.
May we have your name, sir?
My name is Sheila Thorn.
If you could see right here inside the microphone.
Yeah, I'm Gainsborough resident. I'm living in the Graceland Street, which is very close to the proposal that the wireless stuff for
sale. Okay, let me stop you for a moment. We have to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear and affirm under the penalties of perjury that the testimony you are about to give in this matter shall be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Please proceed.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a biological scientist. So I'm very concerned. I'm not concerned with this health safety issue. If this kind of wireless tower will have any public health risk for the people living nearby.
Are you referring to the fact that there are electronic waves, or are you referring to the physical structure?
Electronic waves.
Okay. We do not have authority to look into that issue. The Congress has passed a law which states that all of those matters have to be taken up by the FCC, and we have no authority to even look at those.
Okay, but my question is there any like independent organization exam to check if they're going to build the facility here will have any risk for the people nearby? And also I learned that they're going to build a school nearby. Is there anything, you know, dangerous to the student, to the children, something like that?
Well, we cannot look at that, but if you have those concerns, you need to take it up with the Federal Communications Commission. They're the ones that have authority over that kind of issue.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. And we can't do this on the record, but I suspect Verizon would be happy to discuss it with you.
Sure.
But not on our record, please.
Yeah, definitely. because we have an FCC license, we're required to transmit at levels that are well below what are considered dangerous levels for radiation. And so in order for us to keep our license, these sites are constantly monitored that we're not transmitting. And these are actually radio waves that are actually coming out from this site. They're very similar to an FM stereo kind of wave, so they're not like emissions that can really harm. It's very, very, very low as far as emissions that are happening with the site. So, but if you'd like, I'll give you my card, and I'm more than happy to have our engineer speak with you about it. This is a question that's asked to us often, and as I stated, because of our license, we're very, very sensitive to these issues because it affects our license, and these licenses, you know, are millions of dollars. So we lose these licenses. It's a very big deal for us. So.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of evidence suggested that radiation, there's a lot of study that showed that the cell phone tower radiation can cause even very low level of radiation can cause a lot of damage to cell, that DNA, can cause brain tumor, cancer, and a lot of disease. And they said the children are the great risk. And so they said, I think there's a lot of research. So I found that there's a nice review, which is 7 pages, so I cannot read the whole thing. Can I pass those review to you, your officer?
We cannot consider them in our deliberations.
Oh,
by
okay.
law, we're not allowed to.
So
that authority has been taken away from us. The Federal Communications Commission are the only ones that can do that.
Okay, so if I have any concern, I can contact the, you said the Federal Communication Commission, something
right.
like that, right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And actually, their website has a lot of good information also concerning this particular type of the radiation and the concerns and all the studies that have been done over the many, many, many years of this industry.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just getting his name and address so we have it
yeah.
spelled correctly. In
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public wish to speak on this? Hearing no one. Need to close the record.
Make a motion. We close the record on A547. Do you want any more description?
No, I think that's a good one. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the record's closed. 4-0. Vote. Any discussion?
I just have one question.
Sure.
If there was any other telecommunication devices on this property at this time?
No, we are the first.
Oh, you're the first,
yeah.
Okay.
There's a bunch of them on the Marriott, which is down the street, but not on this particular site. We are the very first, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
This is a brand new building.
It's brand new, exactly. I think it just opened maybe a year or so ago, so we were actually there at the construction design of the site along with the property owner, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're ready for a motion.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Appeals of the City of Gaithersburg on the 18th day of November 2010 that case A547, the petition of Stephanie Petway, Network Building and Consulting LLC, consultant of Verizon Wireless Broadband, requesting a special exception to construct a rooftop telecommunications facility consisting of 15 panel-type antennas, a 292-square-foot rooftop equipment shelter, a ground backup generator, and related equipment at 9711 Washingtonian Boulevard, Gaithersburg, Maryland, be approved with the following conditions. One, at such time as Verizon Wireless ceases to use the facility, the antennas, equipment shelter, backup generator, and associated equipment shall be removed by the applicant at the applicant's expense. Verizon Wireless is to submit an actual coverage threshold map to the Board of Appeals 60 days after the equipment becomes operational. The map will be the same type as that provided in Exhibit Number 9. Installation of antennas and associated equipment must be completed by November 18, 2011. If the installation is not complete by November 18, 2011, the petitioner must request a time extension in writing prior to November 18, 2011. And each subsequent year thereafter until such time as the installation is complete. And we decided to add another one, which is that the applicant must include a copy of the lease prior to permit application. Is that the appropriate
issuance
wording?
Of a permit.
The issuance of a permit.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passes 4-0.
Thank you.
Okay.
not as much.
Next item.
Not as much discussion now as it was a few years ago.
That's streamlined now.
The next item is A548, Thomas Lee variance. This is not a continuation, as mistaken on the sheet.
Yes, the agenda correctly says it's not a continuation, but the cover sheet I copied and pasted and got that for me next time.
So you want to present?
Sure, I'm sorry. This is application A548. Application requesting a 4-foot variance of the required 20-foot outside boundary building restriction line to permit the construction of a covered porch at 182 Hidden Forest Court, Gaithersburg, Maryland. The property is located in the RPT, medium density residential zone, with an outside boundary building restriction line as required by section 24-45B of the City of Gaithersburg Zoning Ordinance, also known as Chapter 24 of the City Code. And here presenting for the applicant is the owner, Thomas Lee, and I believe Mr. Sweeney, who is the contractor.
Correct. Right. Okay.
Okay, since you both going to testify, let me swear you both in at the same time. Do you solemnly swear and affirm under the penalties of perjury that the testimony you are about to give in this matter shall be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Okay, please proceed.
We're submitting for the variance based on the unusual lot configuration of Mr. Lee's property. He has both a 20-foot rear setback and a side setback. And if we look at the exhibits and you look at Hidden Creek, his lot is probably not this particular one, but the whole development. I can tell you what number.
Exhibit 9
actually
shows his lot and the remaining lots of Hidden Creek.
So his lot actually is back behind the additional lots on Hidden Forest Court, and based on that, his house has been pushed pretty far back based on the narrowness of the front. And the configuration of the house and where Mr. Lee's door is located, because it's kind of a irregular shape, the building restriction line actually cuts across. Okay.
Slow on the drawing.
There we go. You can see the building restriction line actually cuts across and comes almost within 3 to 4 feet of the bump out. That's the dining room area of the house. So we have this little triangle area that actually is encroaching on the building restriction line of about three feet, plus or minus one. And in Hidden Creek, we've done other work out there. Most of the porches constructed out there are very similar in size, or actually larger than what we're proposing. So it's kind of with the fireplace bump out, Thomas feels that if it was pushed back, the area wouldn't be very usable. You want to add anything?
Yes, I do want to add to Steve's comment. It's going to be, I think it won't be worthwhile for us to build a smaller porch because it's the fireplace takes up, I think it's like 24 square feet already because it's like largely protruding from the back of the house.
It would be on the picture of the vest.
The chimney.
It's frozen. You know, the boards were nice.
I have the copy if you want to have that too. Pretty sure it's being caused by a radio antenna. Off the record. See how the fireplace bumps out about 2.5 feet.
Is it showing on your monitor, Mr. Moore?
No, that's
just one other clarification too. If the porch was pushed back to fall within the building restriction line, the porch would be a maximum depth of 8'7", because we'd have to pull it back 4 feet, and the fireplace would take about 2.5 feet of that, which would basically leave him about 6 feet in front of the fireplace area for a table or whatever else, just based on the unusual way the property is laid out. Right across. And then 9.5 feet. Right, thanks, Kurt.
Any questions?
No. The shape of the property is very unusual.
I'd agree with that. I do have a question. Okay, you're asking for a 4-foot variance so that the porch can it extends beyond the that boundary line, the BRL.
Correct.
Okay. And your plan shows, is this going to be a porch plus a deck plus stairs?
Correct. But the open decks, the decks aren't.
The decks don't fall. Open decks don't fall.
I think better. The open decks can encroach 50% of the, is that correct, Kurt?
There's not restrictions on the open deck. What it comes down to is, in the zoning ordinance, the restriction is a building restriction line, and it says specifically that no building shall be constructed within 20 feet of the outside boundary of a subdivision, basically. And in the zoning ordinance, the definition of a building is that it has a roof, basically.
Roof.
Okay.
So without the roof, there's not the same kind of restriction.
so you can build up to the property line.
That big rectangle standing outside of there, we're not talking about.
Like, so. Typically staff recommends that you don't build up to the property line of the deck because then you still need to be able to maintain it. So we usually recommend 2 or 3 feet off the property line, but yeah, that's just our.
Okay.
Any questions?
I noticed that like this near the front, we have lots 10 and 12 at the narrow end. But going back from lot 12 on the right side, what is there on that line?
Romans.
Is there another
Romans
house
property?
Pardon?
Is that what you mean?
It says Romans.
Romans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually, we mailed to them also. I think that's the farm. Is that the Romans farm?
Romans. It's a single family lot.
Single family lot. Mm-hmm. And they were notified. They're outside of Hidden Creek.
Okay. Well, and what about the lot line adjacent to that? That's at the upper end in the drawing.
The Strawberry Knoll.
Strawberry Knoll.
Yeah, that's a vacant lot. General partnership. It's a vacant lot. The street behind, I'm assuming, is Sykes. Does that sound right, Kirk? Sykes?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that street does not connect into Hidden Creek.
No, it doesn't, but we notified
I think
4 Sykes Street and 10 Sykes Streets.
Right.
And then also Strawberry Knoll Partnership was notified. They're
right.
Located in Glenwood.
Yes, and that Strawberry Knoll General Partnership, I believe that was the developer of some of the lots around there, maybe, like on the other side in Montgomery Village. And
Alan Sykes.
Okay, and for some reason, the developer still owns that. I'm not sure why, but. But that's the address of record from the tax information, so it's, assuming they're still paying their taxes, then they would have received the notice.
How long is that driveway? It's pretty, a lot of
that
snow to show.
It's 110 feet. Last snowstorm,
yeah, must have been a real problem.
For one session of snowstorm.
Yeah.
So I had to take from Monday to Wednesday to shovel in 3 parts.
You need a snow blower.
Yeah.
Or you might have one.
It's a sure sign that it won't snow. Yeah, I'll say that.
Okay, so. No more questions. Why don't we close the record?
Mr. Pitt, you might want to ask about the public.
Public? Anyone from the public wish to speak?
They're with me. They're private.
And I guess they're better not.
Right? They are very concerned about cell phone towers at this point.
I make a motion. We close the record on A-548.
Second.
Okay, in favor?
Aye.
Okay, close the record, passes 4-0. Okay, the first item is whether or not we find that the property is unique and unusual in a manner different from the surrounding properties due to the shape, position, and small street frontage of the lot, and that the unique or unusual circumstances causes the zoning standards to impact disproportionately on the property relative to the lots in the surrounding neighborhood.
I so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that passes 4-0. Next is, by reason of this condition, whether the board found that the strict application of the terms and regulations of this chapter would result in peculiar or unusual practical difficulties to the owner's use of the property.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, someone care to the resolution? I guess it's your turn.
Okay, I'm good. All right. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Appeals of the City of Gaithersburg on November the 18th, 2010, that case A-548, the petition of Thomas Lee requesting a 4-foot variance of the 20-foot building restriction line along the outside boundary of the subdivision required by Section 24-45B of the City of Gaithersburg Zoning Ordinance for the construction of a covered porch at 182 Hidden Forest Court, Lot 11, Block C, Hidden Creek, Gaithersburg, Maryland, be granted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, this is for all. Let's see, we have a matter that we've been postponing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time this evening.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Bye-bye. There are changes to our rules of procedure, which we keep postponing. I think we ought to deal with it.
Yeah, agree.
Especially since the staff was kind enough to respond to the question that we had the last time. So I assume everyone's read the changes.
I guess I have on this is the regarding the publishing in the newspaper. What is Article 66B? I mean, I know it's related to.
66B is the state statute that authorizes everything we do.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Article 66B is the state enabling legislation for zoning, basically. So municipalities are allowed to have zoning authority based on.
So it almost, just reading the memos, like this was already decided before it was brought to us about the publication, that we missed the hearing. It seems like we were discussing it in October, but this looks like this was already decided during some discussion that actually became effective August 23rd this year.
Well, it's, isn't it?
Changes to the zoning ordinance are, you know, they're approved by the mayor and city council.
Right.
Sometimes they're initiated by the mayor and city council. So that's sort of in a you know, the short answer is yes, it was approved by the mayor and city council. You know, unfortunately, they did not include the Board of Appeals in the packets or whatever. But certainly, staff has discussed that in the future, if there's changes to the ordinance that affect a specific committee, such as Board of Appeals or Historic District Commission, that commission or that committee should be involved, or at least be made aware of it prior to, you know, so that they can, you know, perhaps go to the meetings and testify, so on and so forth. I don't know.
The fact of the matter is, it's part of our statute now. We don't have a choice.
Well, that's correct. Yeah, but it seems like
we have to be consistent with the city. You know,
right. No,
the
I agree.
It was advertised in the newspaper.
Yeah. I think just procedurally that we weren't notified, you know, the chair wasn't notified as a just a courtesy for formal testimony to the rest of the board. So I find that.
The city attorney brought this to the mayor and city council. And
at their request, I believe. I believe it was initiated by the mayor and council.
Right.
No, I understand all that. I'm just saying that it just seems like we're asked for our opinion after it's already been decided. So what's the point? You know, so if we had been, you know, included in the original discussion when it was originally being decided on something that was going to impact our work, then that's all I'm asking for is a heads up next time. Seems like it's already white. I don't think we even need to discuss it. It's a matter of law.
Yeah, but we need to correct our rules.
Yeah, so we have to do it. The one other thing here is on page 6, not notifying occupants when different from the property owners. Is that just... Because I noticed that scratched out.
Correct. Well, that is to be consistent with the way that we do notifications for the other meetings that require notification.
Okay.
We're trying to kind of streamline our notification process because it, you know, if we have a different policy for each sort of application, it gets a little bit confusing and a little bit, you know, hard to manage that. So we're trying to, you know, streamline that to make sure that we're following a consistent process, because that makes it less likely we're going to make a mistake or leave someone out. So that's really what that's coming from.
And it's also consistent with what's been in the code for for many, many years.
So property owner trumps renter.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, well, entertain us.
Well, if you look at the last page of the rules, number 11.2, I believe it is, it explains the process for changes to the Board of Appeals. So staff has prepared this draft suggestion of changes. And based on 11.2, you know, a board member needs to basically, you know, enter it into the record as being... you know, as being the official proposed text amendment. And then there's another part in there that talks about, you know, a change to the rules requires presence of 5 board members.
Oh, so
that's
an issue.
We can't even do it.
Right. Now, here's the thing, though. That's a nice segue into the other thing I wanted to talk to the board about tonight, which is that there has been an application submitted for a board member.
Before you get into that,
mm-hmm.
Actually, you have the right to suspend the rule number 11.2 by 11.1 and then adopt this.
Right.
So you can move to suspend the rules.
Right. But there is a 45-day waiting period, so they won't actually be able to adopt any changes for 45 days based on what. Well, I guess they could suspend that rule as well if they wanted to. I'm not sure if they want to suspend all the rules. But
yeah, suspend them all.
I just assume not to suspend the rules. I mean, this is something that's going to be going, it's in effect anyway.
I know it's in effect, but your rules of procedures conflict with it, and we kind of don't want to get, if we have in a case where it is litigious, do not wish to be caught in the middle.
Right, okay.
Correct. Now, getting back to the fact that there is another application for the Board of Appeals, and the Mayor and Council have closed the application solicitation period, so that they'll be doing interviews, you know, probably in the next few weeks, and hopefully they'll appoint somebody so that there will be a fifth member.
My understanding was that they were not going to, that they were going to, if it was closed, they're going to reopen it.
Staff discussed with them that it would be good to go ahead and get another member on board, and then they'll reopen it again probably after the first of the year
for
the alternate member.
When did that happen?
That was Greg Ossent, the director of planning. He's been talking with the Mayor Council. So
I spoke with him yesterday.
Okay.
That's why I'm asking.
Right. I think he talked with them about that last month, like in October, actually.
Well, what he told me yesterday.
Okay. And maybe he's not.
Was that they were interviewing the gentleman, but that they were probably going to extend the period again because we still need an alternate.
Correct. So my understanding was that what may happen is if that person who's has the application and is appointed,
mm-hmm.
then the Mayor and Council would then start a new period of solicitation for the alternate, probably after the first of the year, and then leave that open indefinitely until they get, you know, or at least for a couple of months until they get some other applications. But that being said, we have not received any applications for the January meeting, the December meeting, I'm sorry. So there will not be unless you guys want to meet, there doesn't have to be a meeting in December. You know, the 45 days, you know, we could meet in December to do that, actually, and then if that's 45 days from now.
But I won't be here in December.
Right.
I
guess staff maybe would suggest, if you want to keep the rules in place for now until, you know, you can follow them, in the future, maybe you'll want to suspend the rule about publishing in the newspaper, because that's, I guess, what it comes down to with the staff's concerns.
I think I'd like
to follow what Trudy suggested.
This was submitted to you more than 45 days.
Yes, it was submitted a long time ago.
Right. Well, that's true. That's right. True. Yeah. It was presented to the board more than 45 days ago. Yeah. It wasn't formally introduced by a board member, but it's certainly been out there for 45 days for the board to review.
That's
more than 45 days. I think we first introduced the proposed changes back in September, I believe.
Yes, 2 months ago. I was gonna say.
60 days.
Well, wait a second. The motion has to be submitted by a member of the board 45 days before the meeting.
Right.
So we have to suspend that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have to suspend the requirement for 5 board members.
Well, you're just suspending Rule 11.2. That's all the motion. You would make a motion to suspend Rule 11.2.
Right.
For the purposes of amending the ordinance to bring it into conformance with the city code.
Yeah. Okay, entertain a motion.
Move we suspend Rule 11.2 in order to take up this matter in the changing our rules of procedure.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, passes 4-0. Now, would any member like to submit a motion to amend the rules? In accordance with our draft?
Chairman, I move that we amend the Board of Appeals Rules of Procedure as noted in the current draft on page 6 and page 7.
Rule 4.
Hmm?
Rule 4.0.
Well, it's actually Rule 4.1. And
4.0 was a notice of hearings in its entirety.
Okay, in 4.0, and it's in paragraphs 4.1 and 4.4.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Passes 4-0.
Now, was that rule suspension was just for this, was just that temporarily for
right.
this matter?
Okay. It's already expired.
Done.
It's done.
Any other business that we have?
No.
Make a motion. We adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Turn. Okay, we're off the record now. It's the tape running.